Amen. So as spoken previously, we are continuing our series in healthy relationships. Today is the last installment of that series. Next week, we start our summer series in the Psalms. And so if you have not read the Psalms, we're going to do, 12 of them, I suppose. We're doing a number of them. There is a book available that I've recommended to y'all, and I can put, all of these. We're going to look at a different one every week to kind of give us an understanding, which covers so many things that we face. So I encourage you to participate in any way you can in that. So today, I want us to know that healthy relationships do not happen by accident, okay? You do not drift into healthy relationships. We have to be intentional about them. They are formed over time with things that help us, like grace, right? Truth and humility, forgiveness, patience, love, obedience to the Lord. All of these are the ingredients that helps us to have healthy relationships. But today, I want to ask all of us, what kind of person is able to build healthy relationships? Now, it's one that says, it is one thing to say, I want healthier relationships. That's easy. I think all of us would say that. But it's another thing to say, Lord, make me healthier, right? You hear me? The truth is, we bring ourselves into every relationship we have. Wherever you go, there you are, okay? And so we have to consider that. So if we want healthier relationships, one of the places we have to begin is by asking God to grow us. So this message today is for parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles who are raising kids, and we're going to get into that. But it also is for every single one of us, regardless of our age, that we will think about the passage in Luke today, and that we will consider our own life and where we are growing and how we are growing and where we may need a little help, where the wheels of our life perhaps are bald or losing tread or have gone flat. So it's for everyone. And our passage is Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 41. And so if you do have your Bible, open up to Luke chapter 2. If you do not have a Bible, go ahead and open right in front of you. You can turn to page 881. 881, Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 41. Now, this story is about the childhood of Jesus when he was just 12 years old. And at the end of this is a verse that summarizes Jesus's growing up year, summarizes who he was and what he was doing from about zero all the way to about 30. This verse governs or looks over his life before his public ministry began. So we're going to read the passage, and I'm going to camp on the last verse, but I'm going to refer to these things a little bit. So let's read it, Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem to a festival called the Passover. Now, when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. Now, after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents weren't aware of that. They thought that he was with them. Now, thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then his parents began looking for him among the relatives, among the friends. But they didn't find him. They went then back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Now, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And I bet they were anxious. 49, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. When he went down to Nazareth, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew, here's the verse, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with both God and man. So the verse we are focusing on today is the last one, verse 52, and it's a simple verse, but it's not shallow. It has significant meaning. It tells us that Jesus was truly human, right? Now, think about this. The eternal Son of God entered into our world, into a family, into childhood, into ordinary life, and into growth. Jesus grew mentally and physically and spiritually and relationally. Without sin, of course, in perfect faithfulness to his Father, his heavenly Father. So that means that growth is not a sign of failure, okay? Growth is a part of God's good design. Growth takes time. Growth requires grace. Growth means you and I are not finished yet. The expectation of the Christian life is not instant perfection, okay? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But that's not how it works. The expectation, by the way, is growth, that we are growing. Progress, not perfection. Direction, right? Not arrival yet. So I want us to think about our life as a vehicle, okay? Here is a vehicle. Here is my vehicle. Nice. This will be the only monster truck I'll ever own, I'm sure. Right? What's that? Does it work? Yeah. Of course it works. Works great. Quiet. Okay, great. Thanks for asking. It does work. Don't ask me how I know this. Okay. Vehicle. Great. Okay, so I want you to think about your life as a vehicle, all right? Kids, vehicle, got it, four tires, we see it. Okay, I want you to think your life like that. And I want you to think about the passing of time on this earth is like a road. You can go to the next slide. So sometimes the road is, I'll go over here, sometimes the road is smooth, like the one on the left side. It's easy, it's beautiful, everything goes the way we want it. Now, sometimes our path going forward is right the middle one, is full of potholes and bumps, kind of like this road I live on here in Rockford. Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes there are detours in our life that we did not expect at all. Sometimes in life there are storms that make driving or traveling hazardous, okay? We are familiar with all of these things as we have gone down various roads. And sometimes people and parents will try to make all of the roads and all of the pathways perfect. It's not a great way to parent, okay? Because there will be unexpected turns and twists. There will be unexpected things, perhaps around a turn. There will be some dead ends. There will be some detours. There will be some rough patches. Instead of trying to prepare everything perfectly for your life, or in particular the life of your children, it is better to prepare not the road, but the vehicle to handle whatever terrain may be coming. Does that make sense? Okay. Prepare the person, not the pathway. Trust God for the pathway, but help to be prepared because you do not know what is coming tomorrow. Right? It might be shine or it might be rain. It might be beautiful, this next stretch of road, and it might be awful. I don't know, but what I do know that God will be with you because he will never forsake you nor leave you. And it's best for us to be ready. And so this passage helps us to think about that. So, as you know, trucks and cars and vehicles have four tires. And if one tire is flat, you feel it, right? If your tires are bald, you may be fine on sunny days, but when the rain comes, you discover, man, you don't have much traction. So Luke 2:52 gives us four wheels for a healthy life, wisdom and stature and favor with God, spiritual favor with people, that is mental and physical wheels on the vehicle of your life, spiritual wheel, and a relational wheel. So here's the first point. Here's the first fill-in, kids. Here we go. Keep growing in wisdom. Keep growing in wisdom. Wisdom is the fill-in word. Luke says, Jesus grew in wisdom. Now, wisdom is not the same thing as information. We can say amen, right? We live in a world that is overflowing with information but starving for wisdom, okay? You can know facts and still not know how to live. Wisdom, by the way, is the ability to see life from God's perspective and live accordingly. Wisdom asks, what does God say? What is the wise path? Where does this road eventually lead? Jesus grew in wisdom. Now think about this. The eternal Word became a child who learned words. The one through whom all things were made grew up in a home where he learned scripture and obedience and work and relationships and life. Now, right before Luke 2:52, we see 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. What were you like when you were 12 years old? We read that Joseph and Mary had gone to Jerusalem, okay? It was a trek for them for this festival called Passover. Now, when the feast was over, they headed home with relatives and friends, okay? Remember, they assumed that Jesus was somewhere in the caravan. After a day, they realized he was not with them, okay? I have lost our daughter, and one of our daughters is here for about 5 minutes, and I aged about 5 years, okay? I couldn't imagine losing your son. Nevertheless, Jesus, okay, was kind of important for 3 days, right? Imagine what they felt. They said they were anxious. That's probably an understatement, right? They eventually found him where? In the temple courts, doing what? Sitting among the teachers, doing what? Listening to them, asking questions. Now, it says that everyone was amazed at his understanding what he could comprehend, and also how he responded, right? Again, notice that Jesus was listening and asking questions. Wisdom is not just having something to say. Amen, hallelujah, right? Wisdom listens. Wisdom asks good questions. Wisdom learns. So kids, okay, one of the wisest things you can do is to learn how to listen. And we can say amen for that. Adults, this is for you too, by the way. Wise people stay teachable. One of the things about Ken Soderstrom's service, he passed away, went home to be with the Lord in 98. Ken always was a learner. Ken sat right over there. Ken always had the notes. Ken would see and read the notes with a magnifying glass and follow along because he didn't want to miss anything. Be like that. Regardless if you have doctoral degrees or you don't even know what a degree is, okay? Learn. Grow to learn. Grow in wisdom. You and I will never arrive on this side of glory. Ask good questions. Learn. So one of the things we can do is stay teachable. Scripture has a lot to say about this. Here is just a couple passages. Proverbs 4, 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. You see, there is a pursuit. You have a responsibility to gain and to gather and to have wisdom. Get it. Pursue it. Do not forget it. Some of why we come to church is not necessarily to know new things, but to be reminded of things we already know and need to remember, bring back to memory. Do this. Later, verse 7 of Proverbs 4 says this, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. This means that wisdom is worth, here's the word, pursuing. So the question is, how is your wisdom wheel? What are you putting into your mind? Who are you listening to? What voices are shaping your view of the world? Are you learning and hearing the word of God, right? Are you becoming more anchored and more biblical? The truth is, what you put into your mind eventually comes out of your life. Come on now, right? So we must be careful about what we're putting in. We must be careful about what we're thinking about because it shapes us, informs us. Parents and grandparents, okay? Help your children grow in wisdom. Now, the goal is not merely smart children. The goal is wise disciples. Do you hear me? Okay, that's the goal. Teach them to tell the truth. Teach them to apologize. Teach them to forgive. Read the Bible, to pray, to work hard, to make decisions. Parents, you have responsibility for that. Aunts, uncles, grandparents, help. And do not only tell them what to do, tell them why, okay? Tell them why. Why do we tell the truth? Because God is truth. Hear me now. Why do we forgive? Because Christ forgave us. Why do we worship? Because God is worthy, okay? Parenting isn't just about behavior modification. It's about heart transformation, okay? That's what we're getting at. In order to do that, they must not know just what to do, but why we do it. We love people because they're made in God's image. We cherish them because God cherishes them. We speak and do the truth because, again, God is truth. This is why, right? It connects their formation to what is foundational, okay? Never changing. This is true wisdom. For those who are not raising children right now, of course it still applies. You are still called to grow in wisdom, right? So keep your wisdom wheel in good repair. Do this. That's why I say read Scripture. Is it important to have teachers and pastors and folks that can help us? Absolutely. But you and I also have a responsibility to feed ourselves. Say amen to that. Grow, read, learn, ask good questions, seek counsels, learn from your mistakes, stay humble, stay teachable. A proud person becomes hard and they don't grow, right? You may be getting older, but if you're not growing, you're a dead man walking, I'm just saying, right? You cannot have healthy relationships if you keep feeding your mind with foolishness. There's a lot of foolishness out there. Have you heard of this thing called the internet? You've heard of it? Okay. Just be mindful. Where is this going? How is this helping? What am I becoming by consuming these things mentally and spiritually? And relationally, if you want to have healthy relationships, it starts with you, friend, right? Keep growing in wisdom. Second fill-in, kids, here we go. Keep growing in stature, okay? That's physically, okay? Now, this is an important one as well. Luke says Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. Jesus had a real body, okay? He got hungry. He got tired. He needed sleep. He rocked. He walked roads, okay? Stubbed his toe. Probably got slivers. He worked with his hands. Now, Christianity does not teach that the body is bad and only the soul is important. Some of you need to hear this. God made the body, okay? Jesus took on a body. Jesus died in a body. Jesus rose in a body, and one day those who are in Christ will be raised with glorified bodies. So your body matters, okay? Okay, our culture is confused about bodies, right? The Bible gives us a better way to think about them. Now, we don't want to worship the body, okay? But we also don't want to despise the body. That's the other ditch. We steward the body. Your body is not God, but your body belongs to God. Amen to that, right? Paul says, of course, in 1 Corinthians, we go to that slide, 6, says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your what? Oh, okay. All right. In 1 Timothy 4, 8, Paul tells us, for physical training is of some value, okay? And there is value. But godliness has value for all things. Now, some of us need to hear that our bodies are not ultimate, okay? Our culture will say your body is all that there is and you better focus on it, okay? Others of us need to hear that our bodies do matter. Do not neglect sleep, yay, food, or exercise, medical care, limits, rest. Do not neglect those things and then pretend that it has no effect on your spiritual life or your relationships, right? Because it does. When you're exhausted, you're usually not more patient. When you're running on fumes and 3 hours of sleep and a gallon of caffeine, you're not usually more gentle, okay? A car cannot run forever without maintenance, even if you rotate your spark plugs. If you were here last week, Dave, you done did mess up, okay? I do know you don't rotate your spark plugs. But anyway, your car cannot forever run without maintenance. Some of you are driving with warning lights on and saying, I'll get to that later, right? Wisdom says, hey, pay attention. Kids, your body is a gift of God, right? Parents, part of discipleship is helping your children learn healthy rhythms. Consistent, reasonable bedtimes are important. Hear me. Sometimes I have to go shopping late, and I cringe when I'm at a grocery store at 10 o'clock and I see six-year-olds there. Sometimes I cringe when I go to a movie that's PG-13 and there's a lot of kids who are way younger than 13 there. What are we doing here? Right? Consistent. Your kids need at least 10 hours of sleep. Adults say, yeah, so do I. Right? Okay. Consistent bedtime, help them, right? Meals make a difference, right? When I was 7, I thought Hershey's candy bar was the thing, right? I would eat them every day, all day if I could. God bless my parents that said, eat your vegetables. Eat your vegetables, okay? Parents, give them vegetables, right? Meals make a difference. Movement makes a difference, right? Our life are attached to these things, right? It's a problem, right? Now, there's some good things that screens bring in our life. But have you ever just sat somewhere in public, like at an airport, and looked around? I do this. I'm one of those weird people, right? Boop. Everybody's doing it. Old people, middle-aged people, the young people, sometimes the people in strollers, right? I don't know what this is going to collectively do to us societally, but I can't think it's overly good for us. It's perhaps tragic for us. I'm saying all this, we have to think about our bodies, right? Medical care is essential. How we live these rhythms out look different for each of us. But the point is, we have to steward our body, take care of it, manage it. Our physical state is connected to our relationships, okay? This is important for us to get. Fatigue comes out as irritation. Right? Stress can come out as anger. Poor rhythms can come out as impatience. Unaddressed pain comes out as withdrawal. You're withdrawing. Hard for me to say. So keep your physical wheel in good repair because your body is a gift from God. Steward what you can. Granted, we can't help our genetics, but we can help how we use what we've been given. Your body is a tool for service, a temple of the Holy Spirit, and it's a part of the way you love God and love people. Jesus grew in wisdom. Jesus grew in stature. Second wheel. Third wheel. Third fill in. Keep growing in favor with God. Keep growing in favor with God. That is the next fill in. Luke says Jesus grew in favor of God. Now, Jesus was already, we have to understand this theologically, Jesus was already loved by the Father, right? He did not grow from being sinful to being acceptable, right? That didn't happen. He did not earn the Father's love the way we sometimes think we must earn approval. So what does it mean that Jesus grew in favor with God? It means that Jesus grew in his true humanity. He lived as a faithful son. He grew in obedience and communion, connection, dependency, readiness for the work the Father had given him. Now, when Mary and Joseph find Jesus in the temple, Jesus responded this way, which is interesting. Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? Those, by the way, are the first recorded words of Jesus in Luke's gospel. 12 years old. Jesus already knew that his life was orientated around and connected to his Father. He knew that. But then Luke tells us something that's important, that Jesus went down to Nazareth where he grew up with his mom, Mary, and I'm going to say his stepdad, Joseph, and was obedient to them. Jesus knew he was the Son of the Father, and he still submitted to his earthly parents, right? So his devotion to the Father did not make him arrogant or dismissive of ordinary obedience, okay? Some of you need to understand that. growing in favor with God is not only about what happens in a worship service, right? It includes worship and scripture and prayer and the life of the church. It includes that. But it also includes obedience at home. Honesty at work, humility in your marriage, patience with your children, purity in private, forgiveness when you were wronged, and faithfulness when no one is clapping, right? All of that matters, right? Matters that we show up. It matters that we're connected. It matters that we learn and we worship. Those things matter. Sundays matters, but Monday matters as well. And Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Matters. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. I've said this before. God's love language is obedience. Right? Now, obedience does not mean that you are earning salvation. You're saved by grace. You can say amen to that. We don't obey God to make God love us. In Christ, you're loved. But obedience is the language of love. It is how faith becomes visible, right? So a question, how's your spiritual wheel? Are you growing in favor with God? Is your heart becoming warmer or colder towards God? Are you quicker to repent or are you slower? Are you more prayerful or more self-reliant? Are you obeying what you already know, right? That's a good one. Children and students, Jesus is not just your parents' Savior, right? He must be yours. Your parents or grandparents can bring you to church and model faith, but they cannot believe for you. You have to, you must consider and come to Jesus yourself. Think about that. Parents, again, our goal is not merely well-behaved children. Behavior, of course, is important, but we're praying for hearts that belong to God, right? Which means we must model the real walk with God, not a perfect one, but a real one. Kids catch things more than they're taught things. More is caught than taught. They'll hear your words. And Tom, this is one of your lines. They'll believe your behavior, right? If you say you love your spouse, but you treat them with like trash, they're going to believe your actions, not your word. If you tell them not to lie, but you're lying, they're going to believe your actions, not your words. God, help us to say the words, but better and more importantly, do the words. And we need help for that. You and I have failed as parents at times. My daughter can say amen to that, right? However, when you fall down, get back up. Grace needs to be extended to children, and children at times need to extend it to parents if we will say, hey, man, I messed up. It's okay. You messed up. Fess up. Get up. And keep moving, right? Matters. So where's your spiritual wheel at, right? Is it in good repair or not? What you doing? Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, which is John 15:5, not less, nothing. Now, this is in the context of bearing fruit that lasts. You can't do it on your own. You need help from him. We need him every day, every mile, every season. My prayer for us this morning is that we collectively and each of us individually will treasure Jesus more today. That's what I'm hoping for us. Consider your spiritual wheel, what's happening. Next wheel, okay. Keep growing in favor with people. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and people. This is the next fill-in, favor with people. Keep growing in favor with people. Luke says that that is how he did things, in favor with God and man. Jesus grew relationally. Now, that does not mean that Jesus was a people pleaser. Does not mean that everyone liked him. Later, many rejected him, hated him, even crucified him. So favor with people does not mean that everyone is going to approve of you. Having growing in favor of people does not mean avoiding the truth so people will like you. It means that Jesus grew in the kind of human maturity that was honorable and gracious and trustworthy and fitting. He knew how to relate to people. He knew how to speak with children, welcome sinners without affirming sin, showing compassion, telling the truth, and of course, love. So if we're going to have healthy relationships, we need to grow in favor with people. It's a good thing. Some of us love God sincerely, but you're hard to live with. Some of us know a lot about the Bible, but we do not know how to listen. Ooh, Dave, you're stepping on our toes. Good, you need your toes stepped on. Some of us, notice I say us, are committed to truth, but we use truth like a hammer. Some of us want healthy marriages, but we haven't learned how to communicate. Some of us want our children to open up to us, but we only correct and never connect. So if your relational tire has no tread, it might be okay when the road's dry, but when conflict comes, you're sliding. Relational tread is built over time through humility, patience, and kindness, and forgiveness, and honesty, and love. Right? Gives us traction relationally. And it's deeply biblical, by the way. Here's some verses for you to consider. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for times of adversity. Romans says, as far as it depends on you, live how? With peace. Some of y'all are cranky, right? I'm just saying, I love you, but whoo! What follows you? Does peace follow you or chaos? Well, peace. Really? Let me talk to your spouse. Ephesians tells us to do what? Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other, how? Just as Christ forgave you. That's a tall order. Indeed it is. Colossians says, and I talked about it a few weeks ago, clothe yourself with compassion. You have to do that. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I feel the same way sometimes. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Kids, it matters for you too. You can learn to be a good friend. You can include someone left out. You can say, I'm sorry, forgive, and remember that every person is made in the image of God. You can do that. Adults, relational growth is not optional. You read the next line, didn't you? Thanks. You can be 52 and still need to learn how to communicate. You could be 72 and still need to learn how to apologize. I'm going to head over here where it's not as warm. No, I'm just kidding. joking. But by grace, the Holy Spirit can make you more patient. Do you hear that? How? By grace. Humility. God, will you help me to be more patient because I'm horrible at it. I am horrible at that. Any patience you see, God is working that. To be kind and gentle, forgiving, more like Jesus. We need that. Okay? There's the four wheels. Okay, so let's put them all together. This is the last fill-in. Bringing the four wheels together. So that's the next and last fill-in. Let's talk about this. So a car, a vehicle, needs four tires, right? If one is flat, the whole vehicle is affected. If your wisdom wheel is flat, you keep making decisions that damage relationships and you go into the ditch. If your physical wheel is flat, you may find yourself exhausted, irritable, unable to serve well. If your spiritual wheel is flat, you may look fine on the outside, but you are a whitewashed tomb, friend. You're going to have dry rot, and you are going to end up in the ditch. If your relational wheel is flat, you may know the truth and have spiritual passion, but you keep hurting people and isolating yourself. All the wheels, by the way, are connected. Right? Apparently, it's a comedy show today. Okay. 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 All the wheels are connected. Now, check this. You got to understand this, right? What you do with your body affects your soul. You know that? We don't think about this. What you do with your mind affects your relationships. What you do with your spiritual life affects your emotions. What you do in relationships affects your walk with God. Okay. We're connected. Now, I use this illustration, by the way, and my daughter can tell you this. I'm sitting down. I don't know why. I'm tired. Don't touch this. I use this as a diagnostic tool. I do it in my own life, and we did it with our kids all the time. It is our parenting philosophy. It is our youth ministry philosophy. I was a youth pastor for a long time, okay? So we say, hey, how are we doing here? Sometimes if your life is going in the ditch, right, and sometimes it goes in the ditch, we have to ask ourselves, and why is this happening? Sometimes your issue is you're not thinking about something correctly. Ask the question. Sometimes your spiritual life is out of whack, right? Sometimes you're just exhausted. Jesus took naps. One of my favorite verses ever, right? You might need a nap. Elijah, remember Elijah in the Old Testament? He was depressed. The Lord didn't give him a pep talk. He gave him a nap and some good food. I'm just saying, it's a thing. Come on, Dan, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes our relationships are out of alignment, and we're just, it's a rough ride, right? I can't tell you that all the roads you travel are going to be smooth. I can tell you this, they're not going to be. How about that? They're not going to be. People will treat you poorly. Things will be tough sometimes. Guess what? Jesus says, when the storms come, right? When they come, not if they come, right? So here's the deal. Keep driving. Keep moving forward. Keep growing, right? Pay attention to the dashboard of your life. If lights are going off and you don't pay attention, you'll go a little bit farther, but you will not get to where you plan on getting because you'll be somewhere on the side of the road. Right? And you may have all four tires doing well, but if your alignment's off, you're going in the ditch. You are wearing out early. If you're not aligning yourself with God's plan and pathway for you, you're going to end somewhere that you never intended to end. So this lesson is, or this message is for parents certainly. Ask your kids these questions. Like, how do you think they're doing? Maybe they're not getting enough sleep. That's why they're cranky. You know, maybe they're doing great with their Bible verses, but they don't know how to have a conversation. Teach them, right? Teach them to look people in the eyes. Teach them to be friendly. Teach them to engage. If all four tires are going, you're going to go a long way. But if, man, something's gone flat, you can pull for a while, but it's going to be a bumpy ride. And if enough time, things are going to start shaking apart and falling off. And sometimes you just end. Not going to hit those buttons again. It's an important verse, guys. It's easy to memorize. You can memorize this. Here's a challenge. Memorize it. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor in God and man. Okay, it's that easy. And so we can do a little spiritual surgery. We'll get done a little bit early today. But I want you to consider these things, all right? I'm talking to you as your pastor, but I'm talking to you as a friend, right? Hear this. Where are you at, right? Are you growing? Maybe you're just a proud, arrogant, self-righteous person. I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, so just get away from that. Somebody like, I don't know. You know, the Lord knows. Your spouse surely knows. Maybe it's a rough ride. Maybe it's because the tires are flat, or maybe because the road's bumpy. Keep moving. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep understanding. So use this as a diagnostic tool. I do it all the time, right? Ask yourself, how am I doing these ways? Ask a friend. Ask someone who can help you, okay? Do that, and you'll make it. You go a long time. My hope is that you'll all die as old people. Godly old people, not cranky old people. Seriously. God gives us gifts of people in this room. God gives us people who live into their 90s. Happy birthday, Dave Matthew, 95 yesterday. Thought I'd sneak that in there. You guys, you need each other. We need each other. I need kids. Kids, I'm glad you're in service. We need you. You help us with your energy, your inquisitiveness, your love, your childlike faith. We need that. We need children. We need brothers and sisters. We need old people. It's a good thing that we have a church full of lots of different ages. There's some churches that are all old people, and that's not necessarily healthy. There's some churches that are all young people, and that's not necessarily healthy. Shared ignorance is not a virtue. Dang. But we need each other. Let's be more than friendly. Let's make friends. Okay. Let's know Scripture and live it. Let's do that. So I'm going to pray for us. I want you to leave with just one thing to do. I don't know what your next step will be. I don't know which wheel of yours is flat. Some of you I know, not everybody. I want you to determine that. I'm going to say an honest prayer for honest people, and you pray along honestly. Thanks, guys, for coming up. Isn't it great that we have young people leading on guitar, right? Griffin. These guys. Got all types of people. But seriously, I want you to think about this for yourself. So we're going to take a moment to do that, okay? So let's pray right now. Let's consider. So Jesus, you're here. And I'm glad we had some laughter today, and we had some tears today. We had some distractions. We had some concentrations. We have all this stuff. God, we read about Jesus' development, as you know. God, we're grateful that that's in the Bible. It, like, helps us. God, I pray for this family, this congregation, these friends of mine. God, I ask that we would all be sensitive to what's happening. We would really consider this. God, we would consider how these four wheels of our life are doing, God. God, thank you for encouragement to continue to do well in the places that we are. God, thank you for that grace. God, in places, man, where the tread is non-existent, or the wheel or wheels, plural, is going flat or are flat, God, would you help us? God, we need grace for that. Help us, God, to be people who continue to grow in all of these ways so that we can go for a great distance by your grace, making an impact for your glory until we arrive safely home. God, we're grateful for graduations this weekend. God, we're grateful for celebrations of marriages. God, we're grateful of remembrances of friends who are now home with you. Grateful for all that, God. And we're on the same pathway where we have some of these in our past and we'll have some of these in our future. God, but you are with us every day. Thank you for the gifts of a congregation, God, who loves you. And we're like different from each other and we love one another. God, that's a miracle. Thank you for the miracle of this place. It's a miracle, God. I recognize that. Help us to be healthy people in healthy relationships. And God, we need your work in us. May this place be like we've talked about, a greenhouse where we're all growing. God, accelerated growth, God, healing growth, Lord, new growth, God, pruning at times, all of that. God, that this place will be thriving because of your goodness to us. God, also bless Brian Delameter as he's going back to Kenya this week. God, help the work there. God, thank you for their presence among us. God, bless them and everyone that we're connected to in and through this place. We give you praise this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.